Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, continuing to explore God's gifts in the Ten Commandments, the Ten Words as the Jewish community refers to them, the focus today is number 8, you shall not bear false witness. And I think this is my favorite commandment out of the whole works with Luther's explanation. So I invite you to think about your favorite word or words. What word or phrase do you most like to hear? Okay? So later in the sermon, I'm going to give you opportunity to share your favorite word or words. I want you to think for a moment how your tongue is part of forming sounds that we speak words. So pay attention to what your tongue does when you say. So you got to move your mouth and say it. You can say it silently or kind of quietly. So say can't, name, green. Now pay real close attention to your tongue while you say then. Isn't that cool? It's up in front, up and back. Did you catch that? Do it again if you didn't. Then. Yeah. And then. Notice the D starts in a different place than the TH does, you know. Because if you do a D, you get a den, you know. Whereas I think it's Norwegians, they don't, getting your tongue out there for the is hard. Anyway. If you don't know me, I love language and all this, so you just scared up. One more thing. Can you roll your R? I learned that when I was 20 years old in Italian diction at the University of Lincoln. I'm so glad for that when I try to speak Spanish. Okay. Now, in chapter 3 of James, I know that's not our lesson today, but we got to go to James here. James says this about the tongue. You'll see why I'm going here, okay? I'm reading from the Message Bible. So a word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. It only takes a spark, remember, to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. By our speech, we can ruin the world. Turn harmony to chaos, throw mud on a reputation, send the whole world up in smoke, and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right from the pit of hell. This is scary. You can't tame a tiger, You can tame a tiger, but you can't tame the tongue. It's never been done. The tongue runs wild, a wanton killer. With our tongues, we bless God our Father, and with the same tongues, we curse the very men and women he made in his image. Curses and blessings out of the same mouth. I'd like our culture to kind of listen to these words today, maybe? Wow. And what James writes is true, isn't it? Okay? Think of a time when you hurt, think of a time when someone hurt you with their tongue, brought you down with their words. It's happened to all of us, okay? And unfortunately, we've probably all intentionally or unintentionally done the same to others. Now, think of a time when someone, by their words, put a smile on your face. A time when they lifted your spirit, okay? Do we need the 8th commandment? Oof. Absolutely. So, read the commandment again with me. So, if you take out your bulletin there, we won't have the slide up. So, it's on page 4 in your bulletin. It So the eighth commandment, read it out loud with me. You are not to bear false witness against your neighbor. What does this mean? We are to fear and love God so that we do not tell lies about our neighbors, betray or slander them, or destroy their reputations. Instead, we are to come to their defense, speak well of them, and interpret everything they do in the best possible light. Huh. I would say our tongue, our words, are the most used weapons in the world. This commandment, it gets broken in court cases all the time. People try to bend the details of a case in their favor. There's lots of people in prison right now because they were falsely accused and convicted. And they are disproportionately poor and people of color. And there are people that should be in prison right now, but are not. So we could talk about the justice system all day. Luther says this commandment isn't just about the court system, okay, it includes it, but it's mostly about how we talk daily with each other, okay? Now, of course, we would not want to lie about our neighbor, right? Or do we sometimes bend the truth and pass on a tidbit we heard about someone? You know, when you talk about other people, do you speak about their faults or do you try to speak well of them? Luther says, we're to come to their defense, speak well of them, and interpret everything they do in the best possible light. I think the hardest place to do that is in marriage, okay? At times. What a different world this would be if we were all able to do this. Imagine our politics, if we were speaking well of each other. That won't work, okay. What do we often do, especially with someone who irritates us? We tend to interpret things others do in the worst possible way. We've all been with a group of family members or friends, and a subject comes up about someone who's not present. Do you know what so-and-so did? And we lean in to get the latest scoop. Have you ever tried to stand up for someone who's being cut down? Have you ever tried that in a group? It's hard to do. What would you want your friend or family member to, would you want them to stand up for you if they're talking about you in that kind of light? We are to come to our neighbor's defense, speak well of them, and interpret everything they do in the best possible light. It is so hard to do, right? Okay, what words do you like to hear? Shout them out. What? I love you. I knew that was going to be the first one. What else? Grateful, okay. Grace. Thank you. It's nice to hear that word, thank you. Yeah. Huh? You're forgiven. Oof. There was another one, too. Blessed. Blessed, yeah. Please, you bet. Okay. So, nobody said, the meal's ready. Where do we get help for our tongues? Okay. Well, the Beatles song written by Billy Shears, it went through my head, with a little help from my friends, okay? The people we hang out with very much affects what comes out of our mouths, okay? I would say what you listen to in media also very much affects what comes out of your mouth. What do you feed yourself from the constant stream of words in our culture today? How are you feeding your mind? If you hang out with people that are always negative, that'll have an impact on you. Say if you hang out with people who are always trying to build others up, okay? God gives us God's word It's to guide us, to encourage us, to give us hope. That, and to have hope for this, that our tongues can be controlled and used for good. Now, there's a passage from from Galatians as an example. I'm just going to read it quickly, a portion that you can hear. This is Galatians 5. For you are called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. So, commandment 8, it's about helping us keep that great commandment to love our neighbors we read in the gospel lesson. Here's a little more from Galatians 5. But what happens when we live God's way? And I'm reading from the Message Bible again. What happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same as that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. Like Niagara Falls, wow. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Now I'm going to close with a story. It's about speaking hard truths that can also be an occasion for healing. It's for healing, forgiveness, and reconciliation. So the story comes from Philip Yancey. And it's about Nelson Mandela, who was a black South African during the time of apartheid. That's when, you know, blacks and whites were totally separated. You couldn't do anything together in Africa. He spent 27 years in prison for his opposition to the oppression of apartheid. Amazingly, after his release, he was elected president of South Africa and taught the world a lesson in grace when he asked his jailer to join him at the inauguration, and he recruited white Afrikaner policemen as his bodyguards. He then appointed Archbishop Desmond Tutu to lead the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. This was a creative way of bringing to light the very ugly truth of oppression without taking revenge. Now, according to the commission's rules, if an oppressor faced his accusers and fully confessed his crime, he could not be persecuted for that crime. Some in South Africa protested the injustice of letting criminals go free, but Mandela insisted the country needed healing even more than it needed justice. So here's the story of one such hearing before TRC, it's called. A policeman named Vandenbroek recounted an incident when he and other officers shot an 18-year-old boy and burned the body, turning it on fire like a piece of barbecue meat in order to destroy the evidence. 8 years later, Vandenbroek returned to the same house and seized the boy's father. The wife was forced to watch as policemen bound her husband on a wood pile, poured gasoline over his body, and ignited it. The courtroom grew hushed as the elderly woman who had first lost her son and then her husband, she was given a chance to respond. What do you want from Mr. Vandenbroek? The judge asked. She said she wanted Vandenbroek to go to the place where they burned her husband's body and gather up the dust so she could give him a decent burial. His head down, the policeman nodded agreement. Then she made a further request. Mr. Vandenbroek, you took all my family away from me, and I still have a lot of love to give. Twice a month, I would like for him to come to the ghetto and spend a day with me so I can be a mother to him. And I would like Mr. Vandenbroek to know that he's forgiven by God and that I forgive him too. I would like to embrace him so he can know my forgiveness is real. The courtroom responded spontaneously, began singing Amazing Grace as the elderly woman made her way to the witness stand. But Vandenbroek did not hear the hymn. He had fainted, physically overwhelmed by grace. Justice was not done in South Africa that day, nor in the entire country, as the TRC exposed atrocities to public view. Something beyond justice took place, the first step toward reconciliation. I believe that story demonstrates how God's forgiveness works through Jesus and how God would like forgiveness to work through our words, through our tongue. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord God, we know how wily our tongues can be. Forgive us when we think of those times it's been misused. Help us each to encourage one another as we seek to use words that build up people, your body, our communities, one another. In your name we pray. Amen.